What's an unveiled face? What's a veiled face? Mascara. A veil would be something that you put over your face, so it would hide somewhat who you are. But with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror. We are being transformed into the same image. What image are we being transformed into? The image of Christ. From one degree of glory to another. Christ is the perfect image of glory. And when we look into the mirror of God's Word, and we're going to see that's what it's talking about, we can see the image of Christ. And by looking in there, we can be changed to that image by degrees as we go forward. For this comes from the Lord, or the Spirit. So, all of us with unveiled faces are being changed or transformed if we're looking into the Word of God, if we see an accurate image of who we are. There was a private school that had a bunch of 12-year-old girls that would bring lipstick from home and put it on at school. Their parents wouldn't let them wear it. And they got to where, after they would put it on, they would all kiss the mirror and leave lipstick on the mirror. And there was about 20 of them. Every day, the janitor, the maintenance person, had to go in there and clean all that lipstick off. And they kept telling these girls, quit doing that. But they wouldn't quit. So finally, the principal brings all these girls into the bathroom where they're kissing this mirror and brings the maintenance man in and says, now I want y'all to see how difficult it is to get lipstick off of a mirror, what this guy has to go through to take care of what y'all are doing. So he gets his squeegee out and he sticks it in the stool and he cleans off the mirror. And there's no more lipstick on the mirror. I don't have anything to do with anything. I just read that. But mirrors can, how many of you has been in a fun house where the mirrors do weird things to you? Have y'all been in there? They make you tall and skinny or short and fat or wavy and all that kind of stuff. Well, Paul in his first letter to the believers, to Corinth, spoke of looking in a mirror. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly. And he's talking about, the verses before that make it clear he's talking about the Word of God. The Bible was not complete. Only God was still inspiring people to write the Bible. Paul only knew about God what God had revealed to him and what he knew of the Old Testament. So for Paul, looking into the Word of God at that point was still kind of dim. Their mirrors in those days weren't like what we have today. So when he used that image, he says it's like looking into a mirror and you don't get a very good reflection. They knew what he was talking about. So he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then when the complete revelation of God is complete, when all the Bible is complete, then face to face. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, who will be seeing face to face is Jesus through the Word. Now I know in part. He only knew what God had revealed to him so far. But then, after the complete Word comes, I shall know just as I also am known. I will know everything that God wants me to know because the revelation will be complete, and also know as I'm known. I'll know me. I'll be able to see clearly who I am. One of the things that we run into when we try to witness to people and lead them to the Lord when we're bringing them to the Lord, you have to get them lost first before they'll realize that they need to be saved. The reason why is because most everybody has a pretty high opinion of themselves. They think they're doing so well, they don't really need very much help, that they're doing just fine. So you have to take them through the Word and show them that they're sinners and that the penalty of sin is death, and Christ paid that debt, and there's no way to come to God except through Jesus Christ. But most of the time, before we start that, we ask people two questions to see where they are. And one of the questions is, if you died tonight, do you know without a doubt you'd go to heaven? So I want each one of you to answer that to yourself. If you died right now, do you know without a doubt that you'd go to heaven? Okay. So after we ask them that question, we ask them this one. Let's suppose you did die right now, and you went to heaven, and God met you there, and He said, why should I let you into heaven? It's perfect. There's no sin there. You're not. You're a sinner, so why should I let you in? So what answer would you give Him? Why should God let you into heaven? I want you to answer that to yourself. And in a little bit, we're going to go back and pick that up. Okay? But let me tell you what a lot of the answers are. God should let me in because I've been good. You hadn't been good? Okay. There's a lot of people say that. A lot of people say, well, God should let me in because I go to church. A lot of people say, well, God should let me in because I believe. You believe what? A lot of people say, God should let me in because I don't do anything bad to people. I give money to charity. So they have all kinds of reason why God should let them in. In other words, what they're saying about themselves is that they're pretty good. And not only that, they're good enough that God should let them in because of their goodness. Is that not what they're saying? Well, the reason why people believe that about themselves is because they've never looked into the Word and seen what God says about them. And until you do that, you cannot have an accurate picture of who you are. So mirrors in Paul's time were metal. You couldn't see very accurate reflection. It was like looking into a spoon. Today's age, we have mirrors that display what we really look like. The Bible displays what you really look like. The Bible will tell you what you are. In Romans chapter 3, it says there's none good, no, not one. In Romans chapter 3, it says we've all gone out of the way. We all have become sinners. There's none that seeks after God. So what that's telling us as we look into it, we need help. That's an accurate picture of who we are. We are not good enough. We are not worthy enough for God to let us into heaven. But Jesus was. And when we look into the Word, the Bible says that we see Jesus. And what we see about Jesus is that God loved us so much that Jesus came to die for us. He paid our penalty. He was good enough. And He was buried and rose again the third day. And it tells us that if we believe that and ask God to save us because of that, He will do that and He will let us into heaven. So if you answered anything other than I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried and rose again, or something close to that, then you have a false idea of who you are and who God is. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes unto the Father except by me. If you listen to the world out there, they'll tell you that there's thousands of different ways to get to God, and all you have to do is just be sincere. So if we want to know what we really look like, what mirror should we look at? It's the Word of God. There is no other accurate image of you or God. There is not another one. am I being all that God called me to be? Am I allowing the Lord to mold me? Am I doing my best? Am I giving my best? How do you know the answers to any of those questions unless you know the Word of God? You can't know that. So it's very important that we understand what God is saying to us. We may find feelings or thoughts or problems or attitudes that we hold on to as Christians that we've not allowed God to transform because we don't know that we need to. We may yield to God's, we must yield to God's Word, to God's will, and God's Word is God's will to mold us into the image that He wants us to be. It's easy for us to see the tiny faults of others, right? I can see everything wrong with Kevin. It doesn't take very much. I mean, I don't even have to have glasses. I don't have to have anything. I just look at Kevin and, oh, man, this guy needs help. But the only way that I see that same thing about me is to look into the Word of God. Because we have a tendency to be very easy on ourselves and very hard on everybody else. Y'all agree with that? Y'all think that's true? I believe that I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I believe that anybody who messes me should get the wrath of God, but if I mess with somebody, I should have grace. That's kind of the way we are as people. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18 again. All of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, or from glory to glory. What does it take to be transformed, according to that verse? What does it take? The Word of God. There is no other way. It's the Word of God. So, read with me here. If we start with the person in the mirror, then we can begin to impact our world one person at a time. If we start with the person in the mirror, who is the person in the mirror? It's me and it's Christ I'm looking at, right? Then we can start to make a difference. If we start with the person in the mirror and we let God mold us, we'll be transformed. If we start with that person in the mirror. If we start with the person in the mirror, then we can begin to make our church a beacon of light to those around us. We can praise God for His mercy and for His provision for us. If we start with the person in the mirror. Look, James chapter 1. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Be doers of what? How can you do it if you don't ever go in it? Be doers of the word. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. You got the picture? Somebody's looking in there really seriously. He looks at himself, sees what he looks like, and he goes away and at once forget what he was like. When you're not looking in the mirror, any of you that's over 50, I want y'all to answer this question. When you're not looking in the mirror, when you think of yourself, how do you think of yourself? How do you picture yourself? You picture yourself at the age you are? How many of you do? Nobody. What do you picture yourself as? Whenever you're not looking in the mirror and you just think of yourself, Who do you, in your mind, who do you see? Yeah, about when I was about 20. I look in the mirror and I think, how'd my dad get in there? He's not supposed to be in there. I'm not supposed to be that age. That's what he's talking about. If you are like a lot of Christians, you just glance into the Word. You go away with no impact. You don't really see how you are, and you don't really see how Christ is. You just forget. It is possible to look into a mirror and then forget. Y'all agree? But there are two reasons why that can happen, or at least two. One, you don't believe the mirror is an accurate reflection of who you are. You look at the mirror and say, mirror, you lie. Anybody ever argued with your mirror? That is, you don't trust the mirror you're looking into. Right? Second, you can look in a mirror and forget what you look like because you're being deceived. You can have somebody telling you, well, let's go a little bit. The enemy is deceiving you into believing that you don't look like what the mirror is reflecting. That often happens with people with eating disorders. It's called image distortion disorder. Somebody with an eating disorder looks in the mirror, and even though they're starving to death and they're about to drop and blow away, what do they see? They see a fat person. It's not accurate, it's not real, but that's what their mind sees. So they continue to starve themselves. They're being deceived. There are people that are depressed. They look in the mirror. When a depressed person look in the mirror, what do you think they see? What do they see looking back at them? A depressed person. And so what does that promote? More depression. Did you know all of us have inside of us what's called an internal critic? Do y'all know y'all have an internal critic? That's the person when you look in the mirror that points a finger back at you, accuses you of doing things, especially if you had a bad childhood or traumatic things that happened to you, and you've come to believe the deceiver that you're no good. Or you've come to believe the deceiver that you can never amount to anything. So those people look in the mirror, and this internal critic is looking at them and telling them how sorry they are. So what do they believe? The real accurate view or this internal critic that's given them a view? Well, you know, Christians have another person living inside them. You know who that person is called? The Holy Spirit. You know what? The Holy Spirit can do away with that internal critic. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit is greater than anything that's ever happened to you. If you believe that the Word of God is an accurate picture, or an accurate image of what we need to be doing. So you do not trust the mirror in some instances. So do you trust God's mirror? How many of you trust that the Word of God is accurate and complete and totally trustworthy? And how many of you read it and then walk away thinking you can't do it? Or do you look into God's Word that proclaims you can do all things through Jesus Christ and then walk away believing that you're a failure? Or do you look into the mirror of God's Word that declares greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world and walk away saying, I can't ever change? So when we say we trust God's Word, when we say we believe God's Word, and our actions show something else, do we really? Do we really do that? Those who look into a warped mirror see an image of themselves that's warped. If you do not believe that the Word of God is an accurate view of God and you, you'll have a warped view of God and you. People who use the mirror often believe they can never be, that they'll never be special, that they'll never amount to anything, that they'll never be deserved and worthy to be loved. You look into God's Word and it tells you that you are. It tells you that God loved you so much that He gave His only Son to die for you. It tells you that He loves you so much that He made you you. Nobody else in the world is you. Nobody. And He loves you because of who you are, the unique person that you are. But we've heard this eternal critic and with the deceiver and other people whispering in her ear for so long that they can't hear anything else other than what they already believe about themselves. They see themselves as failures, and they're paralyzed in fear to try to do anything about it. But the Bible tells us that we don't have to fear. Almost always when Jesus showed up to talk to anybody, you know what he started his conversation with the words? What words he started his conversations with? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Why did he say that all the time? People were afraid. They were afraid of everything. They were afraid of not being able to measure up. They were afraid of God showing up like that in a form that he was. They were just paralyzed by fear. People today are paralyzed by fear. They believe what the devil's telling them in their head. They believe what other people have told them about themselves rather than believe God. Most of the time we get this point of view because we're not eating enough spiritual food. This is important, y'all get this. We would not think of starving our bodies from food unless you have some serious disorder. Yet, oftentimes we starve our spirit. We need to feed our spirit with God's Word. And in prayer with God, we need to look into the perfect mirror of God's Word and gain spiritual power from the words within. There, we need to look into the perfect mirror to see the real person that we are. The real person needs God in their life. The real person needs Jesus. The real person needs to know how God thinks about them, not what somebody has told them. The only perfect mirror is the Word of God. Okay? The only perfect image is Jesus Christ. We need to look into the perfect mirror and see the real person, the real image, so that we know who he is. For if we are any hearers of the word and not doers, you just go away and immediately. If y'all leave here today and you never go into the word again, nothing that is said will benefit you at all. You just will be deaf. You just will not have come. It won't change anything. I read these two articles that I thought was pretty accurate. Some of the world's unhappiest people are Christians. A man once describes today's Christian in this manner. Some Christians are too Christian to enjoy sinning, but too sinful to enjoy their Christianity. Some Christians have enough religion to keep them out of the bar on Saturday night, but not to keep them off the lake or off the golf course on Sunday morning. Some Christians have enough religion to recognize their need for prayer, but not enough to take them to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Some Christians have enough religion to keep them from reading obscene materials, but not enough for them to read their Bible. Why is that true? So, as that is so accurate today. And then this one, a lot of Christians are like wheelbarrows. They're not good unless they're pushed. Some are like kites. If you don't keep a string on them, they fly away. Some are like kittens. They're more contented when petted. Some are like a football. You can't tell which way they're going to bounce next. Some are like balloons. They're full of hot air and ready to blow up. Some are like trailers. They have to be pulled everywhere. And some are like neon lights. They keep going on and off. Why is that so? Why is that so? It's because this word is never used. We never go into it. Look at this Bible. You think that Bible's been used some? I can show you stuff in here. Myrtle's got tons and tons of sermons that I've preached written in here. Got the dates, got the text that I use. And she used to tell me, you preach this on this day. That Bible's been used. How many of y'all have one that you've had for a while still looks brand new? What does that say? I know what you'll say. I use my phone now so I don't wear it out. But let's check your let's check the history. So Why do we need the Word? What does the Word do? What's the Word do for us? She said, shows us what we look like and what God looks like. He said it feeds us. What else does it do? The Word cleanses you, the Bible says. It's like water that cleanses you up. It cleanses you. What else does the Bible say that it does? It'll straighten you up. It'll correct you. It'll rebuke you, right? It'll encourage you. It'll exhort you. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Keep on going. Y'all are doing pretty good. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus is the living Word. This is the written Word. This is what Jesus would say if He was here. Say it again. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It says it'll divide asunder the soul and spirit. In other words, it comes in and cuts you where you need to be cut. Sometimes it's painful, but you need it. Right? It says that it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It knows exactly what your intentions are, what your thoughts are. But you have to be in there before you can know. Y'all still doing good? Huh? It's power. I was going to preach one time the word for the power that's used about the Bible being powerful is where we get our word dynamite from. And I was going to say the Bible has enough power to do something, I forgot, but what I said, it'll blow the hell out of you. But that's literally true. It has enough power to blow the hell out of you. Okay? What else? All the answers are coming from over here. Huh? It says, yeah, it says the Bible's like a file or a whetstone that'll sharpen you up. And if you don't get in it, you get dull. Come on, guys, y'all are getting beat. How important is the Word? How important do you think Satan thinks the Word is? How come you think modern liberal type churches have gone away from the Word? You know what? God's message to preachers is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, He said, you be ready at any moment to preach the Word. At any moment. And He says, rebuke, exhort, and something with all long suffering. And doctrine. What's doctrine? That's your belief. That's what you believe. You don't have a doctrine. You don't have a belief that's based on what God says unless you know the Word. Jordan, every Wednesday night, preaches the Word. In Sunday school, Jordan preaches the Word. In Sunday school, Carmen preaches the Word. Belva and Brant and Nikki and Rita's out there preaching the Word. And Ingrid's out there preaching the Word. And CJ and Alicia's out there preaching the Word. If they wasn't preaching the Word, we'd fire them. Not that they're making any money. But you're going to preach the Word. Yeah, if you don't know it, how can you have it in your heart? And how will it guide you into anything? He says, I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you're ignorant, how do you know whether you're doing right or wrong? We're going to have a chili bowl today. The whole purpose of coming up with the idea of a chili bowl was to raise money for the youth group so they'd have money to go to camp. Why do we want them to go to camp? So they can have fun? How many of you want to have fun at camp? That's good to want to have fun. But what's the reason you go to all the trouble? Salvation. Get them out of here for a little while. Take them somewhere and give them some intensive care. That's the point of camp, right? To come. How many of y'all who grew up in church got saved at camp or know people who got saved at camp? Several. So everything we do is to get people in the Word and to watch them change. Watch the Word change them. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory for salvation in Jesus Christ. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with people today, that they wouldn't be like the person who looks in the mirror and goes away and straightway forgets, but they would be doers of what they've heard, that they will get into the Word, that they'll start to study, that they'll have tons of questions that can be answered, and that they'll see an accurate view both of you and themselves. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.